Our first reading is from Luke. It's chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought, and he cared nothing for the people. A widow in that city kept after him. 'My rights are being violated. Protect me,' she said. He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing about what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding.' Then the master said, 'Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?'" That concludes the first reading.
Let us go back in time through the ages, between 2,000 and 3,000 years ago. Let us go back to the days of King David. At that time, the king had sinned, and the prophet Nathan went to talk to him. In short, it was midnight in King David's life. He knew deep inside that he could no longer live a lie. So in Psalm 51, he confessed, he opened up his heart and his life. And he said, "God, what you're after is truth from my inside out." So let us now listen to King David's supplicating voice as he repented and turned back to God. Psalm 51. "Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I've violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then. Conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow-white life. Tune me into foot-tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health, God. Make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash, or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails." May the scripture readings this morning speak to all of us and reveal to us that God loves us deeply with a love that will never, never let us go. Brothers and sisters, friends, two men were adrift on a raft in the open sea, and things looked really bad for them. And finally, one of them could stand his fear no longer, and frightened, he began to pray, and he said, "Oh Lord, I've broken most of the commandments. Oh, I've had some bad habits. I drink, I curse, I steal, I treat people like dirt. But if my life is spared now, I promise you that I'll change, that I'll never curse again, that I... And suddenly his friend cried out to him, "Whoa, wait, Jack, don't go too far. I think I see a ship." That's the truth of life. Even non-believers find themselves uttering desperate prayers in times of great distress. However, for you and me, for us, as followers of Jesus Christ, this issue is not about a prayer in crisis, but about prayer as an ongoing part of our lives, your life, mine. Prayer is direct communication with God. And it is possible because God is real, God is always there, God is always within reach. And through prayer in its many and varied forms, you and I can reach out far beyond the barriers of human knowledge and understanding. I believe that through sincere prayer, we touch the face of God. Through sincere prayer, we tune in to the infinite. And like King David, sooner or later, we learn how to adjust our sinful lives. Prayers bring my wandering life in direct harmony with God. Now, it is no secret that the word prayer holds different meanings for different persons. And through our prayers and our talking about prayer, we often reveal to ourselves and often to others exactly what we believe and what we think about God. Now, personally, I believe that some people, many people, carry within themselves a dangerous and a faulty image of a God that acts on impulse, a God that do magician's tricks, a God that punishes indiscriminately, and therefore their prayer life becomes a constant battle, a sort of a competition. How do I deal with such a God? A danger somewhere in the sky. A cruel eye looking at me, waiting to condemn me at a moment's notice. A finger always somehow pointing at me. Oh God, what do I do wrong this time? And for people who still think like that, of people who have that type of image, prayer means to do anything possible to get that self-made God that they created for themselves to change its mind. Sickness and tragedy are not punishments from God, and we should never explain them as God's will. Sickness and tragedy are unpleasant facts of life. Viruses attack, wars kill, tumors grow, leukemia strikes, blood vessels wear out and rupture. Drunk drivers kill innocent people. The murderous rampages committed by psychotics make sense only within their sick minds. Accidents occur. Alcohol distorts. Children playing with guns die. These are the realities of life. These are the facts of existence. And we better be careful, because before we begin to blame God as the doer of all these horrid things. Let me tell you, there is no divine plan that we should seek to either know or change, nor patiently wait for it to unfold. That is neither the way that life is, nor the way that God is. There's only one real direct reference of Jesus Christ describing what God is like in the New Testament. And we find that in the story of the prodigal son. And the more we expose what's inside that beautiful parable, the more we realize that Jesus was describing in his own words not what the prodigal is like. He went away and he did horrible things. But it is really an illustration of what God is truly like. Loving, forgiving, not forcing our ways, waiting, staring at the horizon, waiting for you and me to come home. Jesus refers to God as a loving, caring God with a wideness in God's mercy. Life is unpredictable. God is not unpredictable. God is our God in sunshine and in rain, in sickness and in health. And whether I live or whether I die, I believe that I belong to God, who will be by my side and on my side, even in times of horrible suffering and death. I would rather any day appear before God's throne of mercy than appear before any earthly court. Jesus tells his followers to pray, even when it is dark, even when they are discouraged, when it seems that no one is listening, there are no results. Here's the words of Jesus, translated: pray always and do not lose heart. Even when things go wrong, even when we do not seem to get the results that we had hoped for, even when it seems the world around us is crumbling, we still need to continue to pray. And that's where this power of the source of our power is. That's where we receive our strength to continue on. That's what we receive in the face of every difficulty. When we are able, sunshine or rain, to continue praying in faith without ceasing. Stanley Jones, the great former missionary to India, wrote, "Prayer tones up my total life. I find by actual experiences that I am better or worse as I pray, more or less. If my prayer life sags, my whole life sags with it. And if my prayer life goes up, my life as a whole goes up with it. And to fail here is to fail all down the line. And to succeed here is to succeed everywhere." Jesus teaches us to pray, never for the benefit of our God. Jesus teaches us to pray for our own personal benefit. God doesn't lose a thing when you're not praying. All the loss is on your side. We pray with patience and persistence as we constantly seek to sense God's presence and understand what God wants us to do. And when I pray, I believe that it is God's will that I also and at least do my part to make things better. Some people, I've prayed about it. God's business now. Just go on. Our prayer is always accompanied as part of our prayer, as part of our doing, as part of our life, O God. Help me, guide me, teach me. And this is what I'm going to about it. Make my actions a part of response to your prayer. When I say, I've prayed about something, I'm really saying, God and I are going to do something about this. God and me is always a winning team. Prayer reveals my cooperation, my willingness to make things better. Therefore, I have to be certain of what I say whenever I pray, even the Lord's Prayer. That's one thing that we can do. Not only Americans, I found that with the Dutch as well. I grew up with that in Afrikaans as well. Lord's Prayer is a nice little rhyme. Know it by heart. I promise you, I can say it without thinking. Should we? It's amazing to be certain when I am in communication with God, when I am talking to God in prayer, something changes, not in God, but in me. And the whole concept of prayer changes when, for instance, I pray the Lord's Prayer. And in closing, let's look at the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to once again to invite all who want to do so to pray the Lord's Prayer after the explanation for a second time this morning. I cannot say our if my religion has no room for others and their needs. I cannot say Father if I do not demonstrate a father-child relationship in my daily living. I cannot say who art in heaven if all my interests and pursuits are on earthly things. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I do not strive for holiness within me. I cannot say thy kingdom come if I am unwilling to give up my own sovereignty and accept the righteous reign of God in my life. I cannot say thy will be done if I am unwilling or resentful of having God's will in my life. I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven unless I am truly committed to give myself to God's service on earth. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread without putting honest effort into it, or by ignoring the genuine needs of those people around me. I cannot say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, if I continue to harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation if I still deliberately choose to remain in a situation where I am likely to be tempted. I cannot say, deliver us from evil if I am not prepared to fight in the spiritual realm with the weapon of prayer. I cannot say thine is the kingdom if I do not give the king the disciplined obedience of a loyal subject. I cannot say, thine is the power if I fear what my neighbors may say or do. I cannot say, thine is the glory if I am seeking my own glory first of all. I cannot say, forever if I am too anxious about each day's affairs. I cannot say amen unless I honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer, and I mean it. After considering the consequences of sincere prayer, shall we now, as God's people, join in as we once again pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.